This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Donor-advised funds from DAFGiving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We got a lot of ground to cover, Mr. David. Good morning to you on a Friday.
Good morning. Happy Friday. It's a Friday. We got through the week, and we do have a lot to discuss because Thursday was an eventful day.
Yes, it was.
In the world of the Chicago Cubs.
I have to tell you. Missed opportunity by the manager. Missed opportunity by the players. Missed opportunity. There's a huge difference between 7 games back and 5 games back at this time of year.
Yes.
Missed chance, David.
Missed chance, and Craig Council wants to call it holding serve. I get that. He has to say that. But you are holding serve when you had an opportunity to regain command.
Yep.
Or regain some ground that you have lost over the last 6 weeks or so, and you were at home. It was a situation conducive for winning. And it's been quite a week at Wrigley Field. I think that, without exaggeration, when they won the doubleheader against the Brewers, we referred to it, I felt like it was the best day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You beat the best team in baseball twice in your ballpark, and you revived hope because you were coming off a really bad loss on Monday. So I think the two things are true. Yesterday, 2 days after the best day of the season, I think was Craig Council's worst day as a manager. I really don't think that he had a good day. It was the opportunity that you speak of, and it was there for the taking, and he responded in a way that I feel like provided no clarity with Kyle Tucker, a lot of ambiguity still, and the lineup was inexcusable.
The lineup was bizarre. And when you saw the lineup, I don't know anyone that didn't just shrug. What is this? What are you doing? Why? It was nonsensical. It's not that it didn't make sense. It was the other way. It just was goofy and weird and kind of dumb. You can bring Tucker back and you can still play an Owen Casey who has been sort of a firebrand over the last 2 days and the last three games has helped you a ton. The Matt Shaw thing is nonsensical.
The Matt Shaw thing is the worst, most egregious mistake
yesterday.
That's
your best hitter.
Yeah.
That's the guy that's hustling the best on the team. That is the guy that's going from first to the plate, running like crazy, grinding, breaking his rear end. You leave him in the nine hole because you want to protect them and not put – whatever it is. But I mean, and I'm sure there's some obscure statistic that would back playing Willie Castro in place.
But
you can play Willie Castro in place of other people.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you got to bench him. It also doesn't mean – you know, say a Suzuki did nothing yesterday again, by the way. Why can't you take him out of the lineup?
Well, those are two very separate points, and they're both good ones because, first of all, Matt Shaw proved the night before in an 11-pitch at-bat against a tough right-hander that handedness is really not a good enough explanation to take him out of the lineup. It's not even about batting him ninth as he continues to lead your team in every offensive category since the All-Star break. We could accept that, but at least he was batting in the lineup when he's batting ninth. Sitting next to the bench, he does no good. Next to the manager, crazy. It does no good. So that was the first thing. As for Suzuki, why is he in the lineup? We can get caught up about why Kyle Tucker is back and why didn't he just wait till Anaheim? Fine. But you can't really understand why a left-handed bat like Owen Casey, who's coming in hot, was on the bench with Matt Shaw, when Seiya Suzuki, who's in a worse slump or every bit as bad as Kyle Tucker's, is on the field in the lineup against the right-hander. Don't get it. That's the manager.
Like I said, I'm sure there are all sorts of different reasons that they're doing things, but that did not. It was worse than not making sense. It was nonsensical.
Mm-hmm. And
it was just.
Every year we wonder and we debate, and it's been an ongoing conversation throughout baseball, certainly in Chicago, how many games a year do the best managers win you? Well, that's fine. Yesterday was one I think you could point to, at least in part, that the managerial decisions contributed to that loss. They always do, but this seemed more egregious, and this seemed more inexplicable. And they needed it because of the stakes, too. You have won 3 of 4. In the series. You win 4 of 5, you have a much different feeling as you get on that plane.
No shadow of a doubt. We got a lot of games in a row, and he's got to play in Anaheim. This is the biggest series of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a chance to get back into the season. You know, we talk about this idea, you can pick up a game a week, right? Wouldn't you much rather have 5 games to pick up than 7? Isn't it incumbent upon you to do everything humanly possible to win that game yesterday and to do so over whatever games are upcoming against whatever teams are on the West Coast that are not playing particularly well and are not going to ever find their way to the playoffs this year?
No doubt about it. And I think Cub fans feel a sense of frustration at times because Craig Counsell does a terrific job of maintaining an even keel, and the clubhouse is certainly a pretty stable place, and he presents himself the same way every day. But no, as much as that is his strength, no, not every day is alike, and yesterday was one that was different, and it represented a chance for the Cubs to make up some lost ground, and I think they squandered it badly.
Yeah, it was, again, I don't know anybody that liked that. We had an exchange. It was very funny because maybe the Shaw thing.
I can't even remember what the, because I was so mad.
You were so funny.
I was so mad about that.
I said, is there a single, you know, media type fan observer of the Cubs who would like that Matt Shaw move? And you suggested Willie Castro's wife.
Oh, okay.
Which was very funny. But she could have been just as happy if he played another position.
I suppose.
He didn't have to play that one.
And I think Willie Castro is a guy who's been invaluable since arriving. But he also could be somebody that gives, if he would have given, say, Suzuki a break, I'd understood that better.
I agree.
Say Suzuki is really struggling, and I don't know. And Pico Armstrong right now, as much as he has gotten off to the great start, and he's had an all-star beginning as well, but he's really hurting them offensively.
The Cubs got 8 walks yesterday. They were walked 8 times. They had runners on base for a living. And you know what they did? They left them on base for a living. It was so frustrating. They were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. And it's round up the usual suspect. So you look at every guy's trip to the plate, and, you know, a bunch of guys had one hit. 5 different guys had one hit. And some of them had a hit and a walk, and that's great. But guess what? They weren't scoring runs. They did not take advantage of any of it. And as bad as a couple of moments were pitching, you can't get down on that.
Saya deserved better.
Saya
pitched well enough to win that game.
I don't know what
he went into the 7th.
Frazier deserves.
Yeah, that was.
That's tough.
That was tough.
He's getting long in the tooth, and they've trusted him for.
I don't know where he is in terms of that circle of trust, but yeah. He's inconsistent.
But as inconsistent, as bad as that may have been, how do you get down on him when you're 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot score. We're back to that.
The Brewers used 6 pitchers to keep the Cubs to 1 run. Pat Murphy pushed all the right buttons on a day that Craig Counsell just didn't have it. If you're talking head-to-head managerial decisions and lineups and moves, that just yesterday was one of those days you chalk up as a managerial loss.
He pushed the wrong buttons to begin with.
That's it.
I think you saw that lineup and you're like, oh, boy.
And yes, we can pick apart the lineup every day, and yes, we do give it heightened scrutiny because we're here for 4.5 hours. But I tell you, you don't have to be in this business. You just a typical Cub fan, common sense. Hottest hitter since the All-Star break. Biggest game of the series. Matt Shaw's going to be on the bench? I don't think that he gave a reasonable explanation for it.
No, he didn't.
And I think he owes Cub fans a reasonable explanation for it.
You know, the other thing is, I mean, I'm sorry, but there's nothing wrong with, you know, showing the W flag. We work with Dustin Rhodes. He lives for that thing. But it feels like there's members of the media that are just running around with a W flag or a Cubs flag and planting it every time you talk about. I couldn't believe the reaction that the story yesterday, and I heard it like 4 different places, was that there was nothing wrong with Kyle Turner because he played so well in June. He got hurt, but he played fine, and you can't blame them for staying with him and only deciding to bench him when they're in the biggest series of the year because he did so well in June.
I was struck by how quickly that explanation was accepted. And because it seems to me inconceivable, or let me rephrase that. I think that it's totally plausible to think that somebody who injures his hand in early June tries to play through it and maybe even has some success, as Kyle Tucker did, but I don't know that means it heals, and I don't think that it means that it removes the doubt that he's going to – it was a hairline fracture if we're to believe the reports, and there's no reason not to. And so he has early success dealing with it, playing through it.
Adrenaline.
Right. And that doesn't mean that it's necessarily healed. He never got time to rest it.
And then he picks up a bunch of bad habits, apparently, and then it all goes haywire. And then you wait until you're playing the Brewers to actually sit the guy down. Like, I'm sorry. It was like deciding to rest people on a game where you had to win it in order to still keep your division hopes alive.
Yeah, I think that's
it's
true.
The same thing.
It seemed like healthy skepticism was the right response to the way the Cubs explained something they were trying to conceal. And I don't understand why there wasn't more of that. But
there was none.
There was really like, oh, okay, all right, well, that makes sense. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make sense. And Kyle Tucker's a pro, and he wants to play through these things. But his explanation was no more clear about, at least within the player's sense, you have a respect for him wanting to make it, wanting to get through it by just being – somebody who is ignoring the pain. But it wasn't just pain. It was injury. There's a difference.
You needed to sit the guy down like a month earlier or 3 weeks earlier or not on this series. I can't believe that is somehow escaping people.
It has, apparently, and not everybody, but I do think enough to notice. And
yeah.
And I understand that it's difficult sometimes to be out there on a regular basis, and that proximity maybe gives you the ability to give them the benefit of the doubt. It just doesn't really add up. And the explanation just isn't acceptable when you have an injury that we found out about, not from the team, and it was a report that they confirmed. And then I don't think they ever fully explained. It's still kind of mysterious.
I agree. And I think that, from our perspective, we've both been beat writers. We've both been covering teams. I understand the difficulty and the pressure and the urge to get all parts of the story. But you have to maintain a very healthy sort of cynicism about everything that is happening. I'm not saying that you can listen and report what people say is the story, but you also have to understand that there is a larger picture as well, and you gotta have it all in unison, and you can't just think, well, oh, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, he was good for that first. Okay, then everything's forgiven and all is well. No, that's not how it works. And I really believe that I've had some hard moments as a result of kind of, well, wait a minute, what about this? And I think it's a very good way of operating.
Well, the question that was never fully addressed I didn't hear it asked, or maybe it was just something I missed. But when they said that, Craig Counsell said everything, players always often conceal things, or we don't always know everything is bothering a player. And I just wonder, did they ever go back and consider sitting him out when he started to struggle in July? And if they had those kind of conversations, why did they not just err on the side of caution? Because it is such a long season. We hear all the time about how long of a season it is. Don't overreact to this or to that. So if you have the long view of everything all the time, why was that not taken in this situation?
That's exactly correct, David. I mean, listen, you waited until the worst possible moment and then said, oh, we got to deal with this. I'm sorry, but at bare minimum, you should have dealt with it 10 days earlier, two series early, whatever way you want to word it.
And what he did to maybe get a short-term fix to get through June, to whatever degree he was injured or impaired, that may have been fine for June, but then those clearly change his swing, or certainly affected his results, because he's not been the all-star player since about the beginning of July. And he's still, what is it today? August 22nd?
Yes.
It's more than a month since his last home run. And not that he's a guy that you're going to expect to... No, you expect more home runs from Kyle Tucker.
Yeah,
it's fair to, given all that we made him out to be in the first 2 months of the season. Now it's just like he's up there yesterday, and is there any expectation that he's going to come through? No. Why is he still batting second? Don't know. And then in right field, I have to say, a tough catch, tough situation, but I did wonder to myself, would Owen Casey have caught that ball? Would Owen Casey have gone into that wall? These are the unfair kind of thoughts that you have when you have been through the week that we have.
I just don't understand how, Owen Casey can combine with Matt Shaw to make some spectacular defensive plays, to make some key offensive plays, and then the two of them have to sit. What? How old are these dudes? Matt Shaw is still like 23 years old. This is a young guy. I don't think, when I was 23, I didn't run out of energy. I ran out of time in a few different nights, and then I just would keep going for a couple days. I think you have unbelievable resources of energy when you're that age. I don't think these guys are in danger of burning out or not. What are you doing?
And just so we're fair here, the left-handed bat that we're asking to be in the lineup not necessarily for Tucker, but for Suzuki yesterday.
Yes.
Over the last 30 days, Seiya Suzuki has one home run and five runs batted in. His OPS over the last 30 days is 580. He's hitting a robust 184. If that's not screaming for a day off, I don't know what is. That was an opportunity to rest a right-hander against a right-hander, a guy who needs his own break, and Owen Casey's sitting there waiting to be called on to pinch hit, which is a tough situation for anybody, let alone a 23-year-old in his first week as a major leaguer.
Yeah, and I don't think we're second guessing here. I think we were first guessing, frankly.
Totally.
So I don't want to hear any of that either. This guy texting in thinks that, you know, whatever. I gotta tell you.
Well, if you're not skeptical and if you're not cynical, yeah, and if you're not really a little bit miffed after the way yesterday was handled, then I think that you're just essentially have conceded that you will accept any explanation from the Cub organization and you will believe anything that Craig Counsell says is gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. You can make that choice.
Yep.
We will not.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Again, terrible missed opportunity, and now they're off to Anaheim, and we'll see who does what this weekend.
Who's pitching? Do we know?
No.
TBD versus TBD.
What did he say when asked that question? Well, we got a lot of things to go over.
It's a long flight.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have a meeting on the flight.
It's a long flight.
We had all of our eggs in this series. We were totally pot committed to just winning this series.
Maybe. Did he say?
As was evidenced by the pictures we ran out there on Monday.
We have to check the x-rays? No, he didn't say that.
He didn't say
that. Okay. I don't know. I wasn't stopped listening at that point.
Yeah. He gazed over.
But yeah, it's a late one tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Out in Anaheim. I think we're going to see Kyle Hendricks at some point, maybe pitching against the Cubs this weekend. We'll check out if that's a possibility.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Batting six, second baseman number two, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys, Nico Hoerner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
You look at what he's been able to do in his career, right? Like, we have acceptance of who we are. He's not a home run hitter, and who cares? He makes great contact. He sits there and he hits with runners in scoring position. What he does on the base pass, four straight seasons of 20-plus stolen bases. You know, the first Cub to do that since Ryan Sandberg.
And the runner goes. The pitch is high. Throw to second. Head first, slide safe at second base is Nico Hoerner.
And he plays the position with respect and admiration of Ryan. He takes the defense side as serious and as anybody, and it shows.
Gonzalez grounds one up the middle, backhanded by Hoerner on the outfield. Grasses throw to first in time. Beautiful play by Hoerner.
Every team in the league sits there and goes, I would love to have a Nico Hoerner on my team.
Line drive, base hit out into left center field. Hep's on the move, racing for third. Nico to second, and he's in. And the Cubs add on.
Nico's just, that's what he's great at. His superpower kind of is his consistency. He does it at a level that I think all the other players watch and admire. And that's when you know it's kind of special, right? He sets a great example every single day.
Nico Hoerner on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
We are so happy to have our buddy Nico Hoerner on the show. We were thinking, you know, it's been a stressful week. Like, maybe we can give Nico a day off. But he's like, nah, I can talk to you guys. And why not? The Cubs have just swept a doubleheader. And we are happy to have Nico Hoerner join us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. What's up, Nico?
What's up, guys? We got a little bit of a later show up today. So I'm in my car, not driving. I'm parked. We played six straight day games. That's a new one for me. I've never done that in the big leagues. I doubt any team in baseball has done that in the last several years. So we got a night game tonight. I'm pumped for that. It'll be a good time.
Does the circadian rhythms affect you when you have that many day games in a row? Like what challenges does that present, if any?
Yeah, there's a lot of benefits to being a Chicago Cub. Circadian rhythm, I guess, not one of them. But we'll take that. It's the day games are a huge part of being a Cub, and a really fun thing too, because we get to obviously get that energy, but also we get time after the games to go to dinner, to hang out, whatever it may be. So it's a cool perk. It can be a little different at times than I think what other teams do, but I think it can be to our advantage too, and I love it.
I don't know if I've ever asked a player this. What do you guys do in between games of a doubleheader? What's it like?
I thought it was a little different for me yesterday because I didn't play the first one. So I was able to kind of treat it a little bit more normally. It's a lot of laying around. Everyone kind of disappears, honestly, for like an hour and a half into random rooms where they can find peace and quiet or eat some food or whatever it may be, and then lock back in. But man, winning two games of a doubleheader is really challenging. I don't know what the stats are on that, but it sure has always felt like it was, you know, it's just so often you split a doubleheader, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but to win both against any team is a big deal. And then obviously against the Brewers was just a really cool day all around.
Yeah, two W flags up there.
I didn't know that there were two. When I saw the Cubs post that last night, I was in shock. I was like, I didn't know they had two laying around.
No, just for a day like that, you know?
Has that been done before? Like, they've played a lot more doubleheaders in the past. Like, I wonder if that was a tradition or not.
I assume so. I don't know. It's a good question. We'll find out.
It was maybe a cool touch.
I thought it was a very cool touch.
You think if we lost both, they would have fallen the double L?
or did one L, one W? Do they cancel each other out? I mean, nothing at that point. But seriously, though, that was really satisfying from the fan perspective. Like, you guys played well in both games. Yeah. There was good defense. There was clean stuff. There's the Willie Castro throw. There was base running.
Yeah.
I mean, but you went oof on the throw. That was a special moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was funny because, like, right before that, you know, the situation on first and third, up by three, kind of later in the game, I saw the outfielders, like, looking at each other, like, at least Pete and Ian, like, hey, keep the throws down, just kind of accountability, and then fly ball to Willie, just lets it rip. So when it left his hand, usually when an outfielder's throw goes, like, all the way in the air, like, not a lot of good stuff comes from it. The runner moves up, but it was just such a perfect throw. And we've seen glimpses of, like, his talent, his versatility, but just the raw arm strength he has at every position on the field is incredibly impressive. And just what a day for him. I mean, he kind of had arguably the biggest play in each of those games, right? And that was so cool to see.
Yeah, I had the same moment that you did, Nico, because I was sitting there going, oh, there's the trail runner. I see the ball going over the trail runner, and I'm like, I hope it's good. And it was an excellent throw. Like, you couldn't have thrown it better. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, no, it was incredible.
Yeah, Council said when the ball left his hand, he turned to Ryan Flaherty, whoever, said, he's out. And I think he's out. Like, they were shocked. Willie didn't play the outfield in the big leagues until he was 24 years old. It was the first time he did it since age 12, because A.J. Hinch asked him to in Detroit. Fundamentally, look what he did, man. He got underneath that. He got his weight in the right spot. His footwork was awesome. I mean, look at all that. Yeah. That's crazy impressive for a super utility guy, isn't it?
Yeah, something cool on the scoreboard right afterwards. They flashed his arm strength in the throw, which was like 93.5 or something. But then it was also like the transfer time, which was not a number that I was familiar with. So I asked Ian about it, and whatever number it was, Ian was really impressed by. And I think there's kind of some translation of infield to the outfield there. That's Ian's really good at too. He grew up as an infielder, and you know, he has a strong arm, but not like a crazy arm, but he's able to get rid of the ball so quickly. And so it's kind of cool to see skills transfer like that.
Yeah. And with Ian, like, his footwork in the outfield is so good too, where he knows where he's supposed to be and he knows how to set up. But to see a play like that, like, those are some of my favorite plays to see guys, like, really show it off. And you see some of these guys where it's a big joke when, like, a position player has to pitch. And then you go, there are some guys out there that can really throw that were probably pitchers at one point in their lives.
Yeah, there's some special arm talent out there, and that really changed that game around. It was just such a cool moment of joy too. Like, he's a passionate, energetic player, and it's cool to see him get to express that a couple different times yesterday.
How about Owen Casey's joy on the home run? He couldn't help but smile. I mean, it was...
Oh, as he should.
Yeah. It was just so cool. And his day overall, that base running from first to home by him, just, that's a big man to be hauling ass like that. But nice to see him and Pete. Like, he's younger than Pete. You know, which is kind of crazy, but they've played it together at every step of the way. I wonder if that's nice for Pete to have another kid like that, and a younger one at that.
Oh, 100%. There's a different level of connection and camaraderie with players you spend time with in the minor leagues and then get to share the big stage with. And I know Owen is incredibly popular with all his teammates in AA and AAA, and you can just kind of feel like how many people are rooting for him and excited to see his success. And, you know, he's a guy who, just depending on what organization he was in and who's ahead of him, could have been in the big leagues a long time ago. And he's been ready to hit in the big leagues for a while. But I don't know. I don't know if it's always like the worst thing for a guy to just get extended at bats in AAA. You saw that with Michael Busch in LA, where he was, you know, he was big league ready for a long time, but then, he finally gets the opportunity here and he's really ready for it. Maybe because of that. I don't know. It's always hard to say, but I just think Owen's in a great spot. And just so impressive what he's done already.
There was a lot of pressure. And I don't mean bad pressure. I mean good pressure for him, where it's like, hey, you're back in Canada. And all and your entire town is here to watch you play baseball. So I'm sure there was probably a little bit of stress of that. But to see him embrace what is the emotional amplifier of Wrigley Field and kind of live in that, I thought was really cool.
Oh, 100%. And that night game, last night, had just a great energy about it in general. And, you know, for them to score first and then, you know, J-Mo to settle in such a professional way and go 90 pitches in his first start back from rehab and all that stuff. It just, like, there was so many positive things out of that day that came from a lot of different places and was just really cool to see.
Have you interacted with Kyle Tucker at all yesterday? Like, what was that like? Because it's an intense moment when he's got to sit down and the manager explains it. And it's, I mean, it's such a good pro and such a long career of excellence already at this moment. I wonder if he's receptive to interacting with you guys at this moment.
Like how has he been around the clubhouse and stuff?
Yeah, like yesterday, as he's sitting for both those games, like on the dugout and clubhouse and such.
Yeah, I mean he's carries himself the same way regardless. I think that's kind of a part of what makes him great. And he was hanging out with guys just like normal, and obviously taking care of whatever he needs to on his personal side to be where he needs to be, but. I mean, you take a step back and look at his season as a whole, and he's still in a really strong place. And he's going to be obviously a huge part of everything that we do the rest of the season, and no one's questioning that at all. So, yeah, excited to see how he responds. And I don't know every detail of the conversations that him and Counts have had on that end, but trust both of them to put us all in the best space moving forward.
Well, considering that you didn't play the first game, what's a day off like for you? Like what are you like in the dugout and in the clubhouse on days when you know that you could just leave your gym shoes on?
Yeah, I mean I was ready to, you know, pinch hit off a lefty or play defense at the end of the game, whatever it was. So I was definitely moving around come like the fourth or fifth inning. But it's different. I think, you know, I take a lot of pride in playing every day, and you know, I played every game since the Texas series early in the year, so you know, super grateful for that. Like, it just so much fortune and effort goes into that. So that was kind of a little reflecting on that a little bit in a cool way. But yeah, you see the game from a different perspective. I think, you know, I get to see the game from the same place every single day, always, which I really like. But then I don't love being in the dugout when the team's in the field. Like, sometimes there's just kind of more stressful conversations and stuff than I'm aware of. And like, I like being out there a little more.
Like what? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Your conversations with coaches or what?
Yeah. Like, I don't know, all the conversations about situations for this pitcher or that pitcher or this and that. And like, I don't know. I kind of like being removed from a lot of that, to be honest.
See, I would have figured it would have been the opposite because you're so.
No, it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah, for whatever reason, that's just kind of how I felt.
Well, you like playing. Yeah, you like. I mean, you like thinking the game, but you get to play and be physical out there. It's I can get that. It kind of reminds me of when he got tossed that game. We tried to laugh about it. We're wearing the shirts that day, and you're like, I didn't like getting thrown out. Like I wasn't there. You know, you like being there and being able to help. It seems.
I guess watching the game too. Sometimes when you watch the game, it looks easier from the bench or from TV. But I don't really have that experience. When I'm watching guys take at bats against some of these pitchers, I'm like, man, that looks tough right now. When you're not like in that like elevated mental state and your body's not loose and like you're not like ready to go, like I'm like, man, that's impressive stuff going on out there. So, it's a different perspective.
Pinch hitting must be crazy in that way, just to like get your body into that space.
Honestly, it's why guys hate DHing. Like, it's part of the reason that a lot of guys don't like to DH, because you don't feel as connected to the game. And then it's like, oh, every three innings, like go swing a bat. And it's like, oh, okay. And it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd be really fun if it was, you know, you're rolling, but obviously that's not how it is always offensively. There's just so much more room to think about your swing and your next at bat and this and that. And like, that sounds like it might be an advantage in some ways, but it's also just a kind of an overload of information when you have like multiple innings to think about like your next at bat and whatever pitcher you're facing. And just, you could go in depth in the scouting reports and stuff way more than the regular players. So yeah, it's a lot.
We got Nico Horner on Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score. Someone put some video of you running last night next to next to Matt Shaw running. and you were comped to Forrest Gump. I think it was Alex Cohen who put it out there. You were comped to Forrest Gump. And I got to say, your running is very efficient. Like, the arms are pumping, the hands are extended like the blades they should be.
It made me wonder, did you ever run track?
Right, it looked like really good sprinter's form, to be honest.
No, I think I honestly used to have a little more Matt Shaw in me, and then over the years you kind of find your cruising speed, I think.
Yeah, because I mean, he's
faster than I am.
But he runs like, and I think Alex comped him to Isaiah Pacheco, the running back.
Exactly. That was perfect. I saw that.
Yeah, right. Because he's got limbs flying in all directions. He's using. He runs angry, and he's using everything he has to go as fast as he can. And he was getting it done. He's faster than you. That doesn't seem possible. But so what do you think of his running style? Do you find it entertaining? Do you guys razz him for it at all?
It doesn't look like it feels good. he's an explosive athlete, and he's been impressive on the bases too. Like, he's way ahead of where I was at when I was first, you know, playing every day and stuff in the big leagues. And I think he's just going to get better and better with the stolen base stuff. And but that was cool for him to then score by, you know, inches on the next play too. Yeah. Like, he just, so fun to have multiple guys in the lineup that can, you know, impact the game in so many ways. Like, he can hit a 3-run homer. He can bunt for a hit. He can play great defense. Like, just well-rounded players. It's amazing to have.
He is number two in sprint speed on your roster next to Pete.
Yeah,
it may look clunky, but he's getting it done.
He was running out of steam there, maybe. That was the long one.
Nico, we worry about Craig because, look, this could be this time of year, and considering the matchup and everything that has to do with Craig and the Brewers and Pat Murphy, is he okay?
Is Counts okay?
Yeah.
I think Counts is okay. I think he's been in the big leagues for, 30-plus years as a player and manager, and I think he's experienced this and much more so from a bunch of different places, both as a player and manager. And I think he gives absolutely everything he has every day for us and to put us in the best chance to win. And you know, he's kept his sense of humor around us, and I think he enjoys it too. I really do think he enjoys his role within all of it. And yeah, I appreciate everything he's brought for us this year.
It's just so personal. Like if it were anyone else, I probably wouldn't even ask the question. But because of his relationship with the state of Wisconsin and the Brewers organization and Pat Murphy himself, I was just like, is he all right? I just wanted to make sure he was good. But if you say he's good, then I'll roll with that.
I think he is, and I think he appreciates things like that in baseball that are, you know, quote unquote big series or heightened things or personal relationships. Like, those are cool things to be able to have at this level. And it's part of what makes it, you know, it does become a small world, and it makes it more intense, and the game's that much more exciting. And part of why yesterday was so cool, right, for the fans and the players. And it was just a good day of baseball, and we got two more against them too, which is great.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting. He said something I totally agree with yesterday. After one of the games, it might have been after the second one, he said, this sport will trick you into thinking things are not going well, even when they actually are going fine. You know?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. That resonate to you? That, like, this?
Yeah, it does. And I'm hesitant to say things like that because it sounds complacent. And I know that can be frustrating for fans that are in it every day, just like we are. But beating yourself up over things that you either can't control or you're going about things the same exact way as you do when you're having a lot of success. Like, it's a fine line, and like, we're all really hard on ourselves and critical, and there's so much information, but you cannot control everything, but you can control the effort every day. You can control how you show up. And if you're checking those boxes, like, you're not helping the team or yourself by by beating yourself up beyond that. And it's a hard thing though, because sometimes that does feel complacent and like it's so process based, but it's always a fine line of those things. And I think he does a great job with that.
Nico Horner, for his birthday earlier this year, we gifted him with the opportunity of designing his own pizza at Rinaldi's and selling them. And Nico went and hung out with our buddy Matt Daugherty from Rinaldi's and designed the pizza.
Do we have updated metrics?
Over 1,000 Nico Horner specials have been sold. You have sold 1,000 pizzas, sir. So it's, I mean, that's big. I don't believe that Danny Parkins has sold 1,000 pizzas. I'm just going to say it flat out. And just who can say that? Other people have 1,000 hits or 2,000 hits, but you've sold 1,000 pizzas. So congratulations, sir.
Yeah, it's rarefied air. I mean, I'm getting up there now. You know, if I'm fortunate to play here a long time, maybe we have a 3,000 hits or 3,000 pizza celebration at some point, and I'll break Pete Rose at some point, and we can celebrate all the milestones together.
I like that.
You get 10 and 5 rights, I think, now with
you got it. Yeah.
Nico, did you see who sung the national anthem on Monday for the first game?
I heard whispers of it. I was not out there for it. But how did it go?
It went great.
It was exciting, man.
Speaks did a wonderful job.
I think it went pretty well. Yeah,
that's amazing.
It was an unbelievable thrill, man, to get to do it.
Yeah, of course. Wow. Have you sung an anthem in any kind of comparable space?
No, I've never. I did not beat the bushes and sing the anthem in the minors. Working my way up. No, it's my it's my first time ever doing the anthem. But it was it was pretty. Like as soon as it finished, I looked up at press level just because I'm used to being up there, you know. And Pat and Ron were standing up there and clapping, so I pointed to them.
Oh, that's so cool!
And they pointed back at me, so we had like a real moment right there. It was pretty neat.
I have some updated metrics on that.
Oh, okay.
So I took video of it, Nico. I was there, and I took video from the crowd. We'll send it to you. It has been viewed now 60,000 times.
That's crazy, man.
So you had 40,000 people see you sing it live, and at least 60,000 people check you out via Twitter.
Yeah, it's a big room. I've sung in some big rooms before, Nico, but that's like that's the biggest room I'll probably ever sing in, I think, right there. So
it's
your
good
house.
Stage.
Yeah, dude, it's your house. I borrowed your stage just for a little while. It must feel nice to walk out of that place and have people say, "Hey, man, great job. Hey, great ball game." Like I had a little taste of that. That's a pretty special thing, isn't it?
It's a really cool space to share with a lot of people, and almost everyone is there and pumped to be there, and it's an incredible space to be in every day. Absolutely.
Well, good luck tonight, Nico. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us, as always. Thanks for pulling over and being safe while you do the hit, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys. We'll talk soon.
See ya. See ya. It's Nico Horner right there. Cubs take a doubleheader yesterday. Got two more games with Milwaukee. The vibes are much, much better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. David, how are you boys doing today?
Doing okay. Doing
yeah,
okay.
We were bummed yesterday because we thought that was a squandered opportunity.
A little grouchy, Ron.
Yeah, we were grouchy. Yeah. And you know, no second guessing here. We never second guess. We love to first guess.
Right.
And we did not like the lineup when it came out. And that's nothing against Kyle Tucker's return. It's more about why sit down Matt Shaw in that series when he was so good the night before? Why sit down Owen Casey when there are other guys that are slumping that you could move him in to help with? When you see a lineup and you think like, oh boy, is it a Sunday? What are you doing? And then you see them fail to score. It ruins the night, for God's sake.
Well, I can tell you this. The sun's come up here in Southern California, so we're going to be okay.
But help us, Ron, what was, do you think, Craig Counsell's motivation in going into the final game of yesterday, of the series that was billed as a very important one, and not having the hottest hitter in the lineup in the lineup?
Yeah, I understand your point. There's no doubt. The one thing I would say is the guy throwing against the Cubs yesterday, hard sinker inside fastball guy, that might not be the best matchup for Matty Shaw. There's one thing I could say about that when looking at his film yesterday morning, knowing that he was going to run fastballs in on all the righties, and he did. So that could be one thing. The other thing is there could be a certain rotation, and I'm not sure of this at all, but there could be a certain rotation that he's getting Castro in the game for sure to make sure that he's playing enough to where he can be relevant. And then I think this was a kind of a pre-planned when Tucker was going to be back in the lineup. He was going to get a couple days and then he was going to get back in. So I think that was pre-planned, even though Case has done a very good job. We really did. You know, he's knocking four runs in the one day, and what a day to start out your first days starting in Wrigley Field. So, but it was unfortunate that, you know, the offense didn't score again. You know, didn't put up the hits, and Shota gave him a great outing. So that was unfortunate, but still 3 out of 5 in that series, I thought was pretty good.
I totally agree that winning the series was very important, and going 5-2 in the last 7 is good to see as well. And things ease up a little on the east or the west coast, excuse me. I think the only thing that gave you pause is the idea that you got 8 walks out of that game and you went 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position and you left 11 guys stranded. It just needed a hit, and we've said that for the last month.
Yep, there's no other way to describe that. I could not agree with you more, Mike. You have to be able to do a better job of putting the ball in play. I think when you get, you know, it gets to the point where, you know, the theory of taking three big swings and all of that thing, when you're not scoring, you have to make some adjustments. And I think putting the ball in play sometimes using the other side of the field is important. And, you know, I think they did it a little bit earlier in the series, and then it didn't happen in the final game again. So those are just things that, you know, I know they're working at and trying to get better at. The one real positive about the whole thing, though, is if you get down to head-to-head play here in October and you go into Milwaukee or they come to Chicago and you're playing head-to-head, Cubs know now, you know, even though Milwaukee had these great runs, you're going to be able to beat Milwaukee if you have to, right? I mean, you don't feel like, wow, they're really good, you know, because we heard a lot of that through all the other teams talking about Milwaukee. You beat them 3 out of 5 at your ballpark, so it's got to make you feel pretty good.
That's true, Ron. It just feels like there was it was deflating.
There was an opportunity.
Yeah, there was an opportunity. Yeah. All right, so Ron, I always love listening to you and Pat and Zach because you seem to be one step ahead of everybody else, and you see things that not everybody can detect. And so I'm wondering, from your vantage point, as you have watched Kyle Tucker this summer and seeing what he did in June and seeing how the decline began in July, did you suspect, or can you look back at now, did you think he was physically impaired? Did you feel like he was fighting through an injury all along? Because we learned a lot this week, and we can debate about what we should have known and what the Cubs should have done. But I think from your perspective, as a guy who knows what he's watching on a regular basis, did you think Kyle Tucker was injured?
Well, he certainly 100% didn't look like the normal Kyle Tucker. That I can say, that's for sure. And the swing itself, just the general mechanics of his swing right now have broken down. They just have. You know, if you're a hitting guy and you take the name off the back of the jersey and you look at his swing right now, you know, when a guy is hooking a lot of balls off his front foot that are strikes, that aren't pitches that he's, you know, that are facing out of the zone, you know that his swing is getting out around the ball a lot, and he's not attacking the ball back through the middle of the diamond. Well, that's what we're seeing. You see, you know, he's always laid the bat off, and he's hooking the ball. Now, we knew he got hurt early in the year with his finger diving into the bag. We knew he re-injured that. You could tell that the day that it happened in early June. He had a great June. And then, you know, you listen, and then in July it was not good, and now in August here it hasn't been very good. So, you know, all I can tell you is looking at him, it did not look like the normal Kyle Tucker, but, you know, he was out there playing and giving it his best shot. Whether that was affecting his swing or not, I'll say this, it had to be affecting it some, because his swing is not the same swing we saw in April and May.
Yeah, we were talking about that too, because at one point people were comparing his swing to Ted Williams. I mean, good God, that's some high praise. Have you ever had a hairline fracture or a finger broken? Or, I mean, I'm just curious how much that impacts you. And can you get through for a certain time and then maybe you somehow create bad habits? Or, you know, in the one broadcast, national broadcast they had, the StatCast thing, they said his bat had slowed down 2 miles per hour. I'd never heard that. Apparently that happens, and you know.
Nobody else has either, Mike.
Yeah, because I was like, that each mile per hour is 5 feet, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay. Let me get out my computer.
Spitting out some crazy stuff.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, right. But have you been through a hand injury, and how does it impact you?
Yes, I've had fractured hand that you play through, a little stress fracture-y kind of things in my hand. I've had a broken finger you play through, of a broken leg where you get that stress fracture in your leg and you play through, broken big toe you play through. That's what you do. I don't know how to describe that. I've had this conversation with people off the air, but you know, the wrist thing, you know, where you're getting injections in your wrist, you know, on a regular basis to keep playing. It all depends on the swing, right? So for me, the biggest issue I always had was my right wrist. So if I could play and make my normal swing and it didn't bother me, you could play it. When you took a bad swing, it would bother you, but that's not the swing you're trying to recreate. So it's one of those things. Every situation is individual, and you have to treat it as such. You can't think that, you know, all of them are the same. And how you treat it is, you know, individualized too. So he was able to go out there. You want him to play. He wanted to play. It's just unfortunate that, you know, it's got to this point where his swing has broke down to this level, and yeah. You know, he's just got to get it back and build it back. You know, and that doesn't happen in the snap of a finger.
What did you learn most about Owen Casey this week? And do you think that he stays with the Cubs when Miguel Amaya comes back?
What I learned about Owen is that he can make adjustments in the middle of a game hitting. He did a very nice job in right field. I thought that was a pleasant surprise to see how well he did in right, or just in the outfield in general. I thought Kim coming in on the one ball, making a nice sliding catch. He was very athletic going down into the corner on the two balls, his first start. I thought that was very good. And running the bases, I thought he definitely isn't slow. You know, he can run, so that was another big positive. The adjustment at home plate, he has this thing where he gets to the ball, and then there are times where he gets out of balance and he comes off the ball a little bit right after he's through the hitting zone. Well, Milwaukee saw that, and they started pounding him away, and then he went out and covered a fastball down and away and hit it in the bleachers in left center. So I thought, all right, well, he knows what his issues are or what teams are going to do to him, and he made the adjustment right in the middle of a game, and I thought that was very important to see him be able to do that, and he did it.
Ron Coomer on the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at huntington.com/yourmoney. So obviously we talked about the influence that Kyle Tucker had on the rest of the lineup when the trade was made, when he came over this year, and how well the Cubs played in the first half. And now we're talking about how he's gone off the boil, and boy, he's not alone. And maybe we gave him too much credit for what other people were doing, although it felt like you had to pitch differently to other people because they were around him. Has his slump carried over? Does that happen on teams, in your opinion, Ron?
Well, I also think that's pretty individualized per team, Mike.
Yep.
But I don't think you can understate the fact that as Kyle goes, the team has gone. And, you know, the other guys hitting right in behind him who are having and being talked about and making all-star teams in behind him, when he started struggling, guess what? They started struggling. Because now you don't have the same men on base. You don't have to, you know, like for instance, you get two men on all the time with Armstrong, and now you've got to pitch to him. You've got to throw strikes. You can't walk another guy or put another guy on base. Well, he's getting pitches. Now he's doing damage. Well, since the guys in front of him have struggled, and that being Tucker and Suzuki, they're not pitching to him. They're not throwing him a lot of strikes at all. I mean, he might get two or three strikes in a game. They're pitching around the zone, around the edges, but he's not getting balls in the zone. And, you know, he's wanting to do damage and swing, 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 which I totally understand, you know, the mentality of all that. But when you look at his at-bats, they're not throwing him strikes right now. And until guys hit in front of him, you know, and they're not going to throw him strikes. They're just not.
So, Ron, we saw the image earlier this week and in the past week of Justin Turner consoling, it seemed, Matt Shaw on the bench after he was pinch hit for. And you saw him having his arm around him and saying something. And Matt Shaw, the lip reader, said something to the effect of, I appreciate that. And it was clear they were having a conversation. And Justin Turner was playing the role of mentor. Also, we saw yesterday, you know, Matt Shaw, after having the biggest hit of his season, maybe the homer, not be in the lineup. I just wonder, do these votes of no confidence have any effect on the development of a rookie player like that? What does that do to his psyche? Is it easy to ignore for him, somebody who has his talent? What did you think of all that?
I believe that as a young player, because it happened to me too when I was playing, and when you're a young kid and you go, man, I'm hot. Get me in there. And, you know, there's other years, this is the big leagues. This isn't, you know, college ball where you're the best player by far and nobody else is even close, or minor leagues where you're the best player. You know, there's a lot of good players, you know, and you just got to get accustomed to it not being, you know, the manager looking at matchups and going, yeah, you're doing good right now, but this matchup is better for him, you know, so for the other guy. I don't think it has the carryover effect that most people think by the time you get to the big leagues. I think it pisses you off. I really do. I think it makes you angry as hell for a little while. Joe Girardi would be like, when I'd get taken out of a game with the Cubs, and I'd be like, dude, I'm 2 for 3. I've driven in 3 runs, and we're not hitting. Why is he taking me out? And he'd go upstairs and crack one open and have a beer and relax. You know, and I'd be like, no, I'm not going to have nothing. I'm watching the game, and I'm mad, and I'm. But he was right, and you know, that's probably why he managed, and I'm broadcasting. But but he was right. So you get mad, and then you got to cut it loose, and you got to move on to the next thing. That's, you know, easy to say, not always easy to do. But you got to learn that when you're in the big leagues, and you're not the star player on your team. That's just the way it is.
Ron, we had a talk with Tommy Hotovy yesterday, and we were saying to him that it felt like he had more mound visits in the last few days than he has all season. It was just crazy how wild it just felt like. And he described it as a playoff atmosphere, the Brewers series, and in fact said that they congratulated Daniel Palencia on his first playoff save after he got that last out. It did feel different level, didn't it? I mean, just the crowd, the atmosphere, you know, how horrible things were on Monday and then how things changed over a couple days. It was really kind of wild to see that unfold, and it really kind of gets you fired up for the future here.
No doubt. That is playoff baseball in August. There's absolutely 100% I agree with that. I think Bounce felt it. I think Tommy did. The players did. Both teams did. You know, the fans definitely did. I our fans are pretty incredible. It was 2 days, the first game of the doubleheader. It's the third inning, and they're at their feet. Mm-hmm. They're on their feet for an at bat. And I'm just, you know, and Pat always does such a, you know, an incredible job of giving our audience, our listening audience, the understanding of what's happening at Wrigley. And sometimes I just get caught up and I just get quiet because I just think it's so cool. I really do. And our fans, you just gotta, you know, and I know there's a lot of great fans around the league. Dodger Stadium is great fans, the Yankees, Red Sox. There's a lot of great fans around the league, but man, I'm telling you, they had an effect on that series at times in that series. And that was really cool.
It was great. Pat goes, listen to this crowd.
Oh, it's great.
Listen
it's
to
great.
Wrigley.
Yeah.
It's great. It's awesome.
I'm listening to him going, yeah, I'm listening. I'm one of them. I'm like, yeah. I, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, and, you know, it's just, it's really cool. It's one of those things that gives you chills as the game's going on. And that's why you do the job you do and you come out every day. And because it is just really a cool thing to be involved in that series. I loved playing in series like that. It just, it was, there was so much energy going through your body. You're like, you couldn't be hurt. You're like, yeah, sorry, that's not, I guess doesn't qualify right now. The adrenaline rush I got right now is covering all those sore things I got going on. It just is. And as a broadcaster, it's so much fun. And I, you know, yeah, this does such a good job of describing it. It just kind of makes me chuckle every now and then, you know, when I look back at it.
We'll let you go. But do you like that ballpark you're going into tonight, Angels in Anaheim?
I do. And I think I'm probably in the minority. I think people have dished on this park. I thought when they redid this park, thought they did a good job. The people around this ballpark, that are on the field for the players and like the usher people and everything, they're just so nice and they're engaging. And I just thought when they redid this park, it gave it some atmosphere a little bit and it didn't look kind of generic. Like the old one did when they didn't have anything out in center field. It was just stands. And I like playing here. You know, the other thing, too, is, you know, you're in Southern California. The weather's always great. It's good to hit here. There's that, too. You know? But I like being out here. I love this place. And hopefully in 3 more days, we're going to really like to have been here.
I read somewhere Ben Brown tonight. And, you know, it hasn't been confirmed. And, and Horton tomorrow, any idea?
I am giving it a peek, and I have not received that.
Okay.
That would seem right to me, though.
Yeah.
Mike, I would guess that would be, you know, I'm not quite sure about Browning, but you got to get Horton right back. He's, you know, he's going to stay right in his slot in the rotation. So, So, and Browning, this could be a good matchup for him if he can, you know, get that fastball working in the zone.
Great stuff, Ron, as always. Love talking to you.
Thanks,
Coon. Thank you, buddy.
Boys, have a great weekend. We will enjoy Southern California here. We got some Cubs fantasy campers that live out here, so I'm expecting a very enjoyable weekend, so it'll be fun.
Thanks for getting up.
Thank you, Ron.
Absolutely, boys. Yep. Hey, the espresso, David, that you said. Oh, you, yeah. Very, very good.
Good stuff. Very funny. Very funny.
Good, boys.
All right. That's-
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.